Okay. So we're in the third part of our Dating to Davening series. And this week, the title is Vayirasech Li La'olam, Hashem's Proposal. So we've talked a little bit about the beginning stages of establishing a relationship. And now we're going to talk about a really exciting part of the relationship, which is the proposal. So I have two proposal stories for you. First, I'm going to tell you my own proposal story in the very condensed version, which is basically me and my husband decided we wanted to get engaged before Pesach. A lot of factors, but we couldn't get engaged until after Pesach. But we basically knew. Like, we knew we were getting engaged. I knew there was a certain week to 2 weeks that it would be happening in. But I also am very hard to surprise. So I made an active decision that I was going to ignore all the signs that usually people are not very good at covering up surprises. So I just decided I was going to play dumb because I really wanted to be surprised. And my husband did a really good job. I was convinced that we were going to get engaged the next week. The next week was like Yom HaTzmaut, like all the Yoms. I was pretty sure it wasn't going to be Yom HaShoah, but I was like, oh, maybe Yom HaTzmaut. Like, that would be cute. So the whole week before that, I was totally oblivious. And there was one day, it was the day before my birthday, and my husband had said, like, okay, you're going to go out with your friends that night, and then on your birthday itself, like, I'll plan something. So I was like, okay, great, going to hang out with my friends. They're going to pick up dinner. We'll meet in the park. Torrential downpour, like, completely pouring. And my husband had said, do you want me to come surprise you with your friends, or, like, would you rather just hang out with them, and then we'll hang out tomorrow? And I said, you know what? Like, I'll hang out with my friends today, hang out with you tomorrow. Long story short, pouring rain, I'm drenched, I have curly hair, my husband's never seen my hair curly, I show up to my proposal, soaked, curly hair, and I see my husband standing in like this random bank lobby, and I was like, what in the world are you doing here? It didn't even like occur to me that I maybe was getting engaged, because in my mind I was so sad I was getting engaged next week. But I saw the flowers and the sign, and I'm not that dense, and I was like, oh, getting engaged. It was amazing. My husband asked me to marry him, obviously, as happens at a proposal, and we are engaged. Beautiful, something I want to remember forever. Every time I look at my ring, I can laugh a little bit and be like, wow, thank God I have an amazing husband. I had a great proposal, and it reminds me of that. Now let me tell you another proposal story. There was a Navi named Hosea. He lived in the 8th century. And it was at the time of the split of the two kingdoms in Israel, between the northern kingdom and Yehuda. And the Jews were disobeying Hashem. They were not listening to Hashem for years and years and years. And they were being warned of the oncoming Galus. And Hashem calls out to Hosea. Hosea is one of the minor prophets, one of the Treasar. So if you're like, shoot, I never knew there was a Sefer Hosea, it's just one of the Treasar. And Hashem calls out to Hosea and he says, take for yourself a prostitute and you're going to marry her. Strange request. Hashem says, marry her, have children with her, which he does. And he gives the children terribly depressing names of Yisrael, which means scattered, Lo Ruchama. They're all symbolic that Hashem will not have rachamim, and Lo Ami, not my nation. And as one would expect of a prostitute, just because she was married did not mean she changed her ways. And she has relationships outside of their marriage, and Hosea is distraught. He's married to this woman, and she has left him. And she leaves, and even by the third child, it no longer says there was a child born to Hosea. It just says that there was a child born to this woman, Gomer, Bat Divlaim. And then Hashem tells Hosea, you need to take her back. You need to bring her back. And after this entire episode is over, Hashem goes at it. Hashem gives us all of the rebuke, and he criticizes Bnei Yisrael for leaving him and tells us what will happen as a punishment for not being faithful to Hashem. And he draws this whole analogy through that story of Hosea, that he had Hosea go through this terrible episode. And the Mefarshim debate, how could it be that a Navi had to marry a prostitute? Like, what kind of person is a leader of Bnei Yisrael and demands our respect, but does things that are against the Torah? So the Mefarshim grapple with that in different ways, but the moral is Hashem uses that mashal to teach us the lesson of what's going to happen to Bnei Yisrael, that those feelings of abandonment, those feelings of having left, having been disloyal, that's what Hashem is feeling, that Bnei Yisrael did to Hashem. And then Hashem says, the famous psukim from the end of Hosea, and the beautiful thing about Tri-Esar is if you don't know any of the Sfarim of Tri-Esar, you usually know like one or two hit lines from the Sefer. So this is that one from Hosea. Va'arastich li la'olam, va'arastich li b'tzedek u'b'mishpat, u'b'chesed u'b'rachamim. Va'arastich li be'emuna v'yadata et Hashem. So Hashem says, va'arastich li la'olam, I will betroth you forever. Va'arastich li b'tzedek u'b'mishpat, I will betroth you with righteousness and fairness. U'b'chesed u'b'rachamim, and with my chesed and my pity. Va'arastich li be'emuna v'yadata et Hashem. I will betroth you with belief. V'yadata et Hashem, and we will know each other. We will be so close. So this is our second proposal story. And I would venture to say that unlike my own proposal story, which I'm very happy to remember, I wouldn't quite say that this proposal between Hashem and Hosea is really one that we want to remember all that much. It comes after this terrible episode of disloyalty and the prostitute and the children that nobody wants and the terrible names. And then Hashem proposes. And what now? That saves the story? Like, if there's a terrible relationship, nobody wants to remember the proposal. You only want to remember the proposal because it is symbolic of progression in the relationship, of something exciting, of something meaningful, moving on to that next stage, moving into a stage that will bring you ultimately to marriage. However, not only has this proposal story been put down in Tanakh, but it is remembered every single day. The Ben Ish Chai writes down the halacha, Achar shehiniach tefillin shel rosh, az techaf umiyad yigmor hanachat tefillin shel yad b'shalosh kricho, shekorich ba'etzba ha'emtza'i hanikra ama, v'yaseh kricha achad b'perak ha'emtza'i shel ha'etzba u'shtei kricho b'perak hatachton. So to explain to everybody what's going on, because I myself was very confused today, because while I admit that I probably saw my husband put on tefillin at home 100 times over Corona, I was usually pretty busy. I saw one of the other cool rabbis today walking around, and I said, what happens when you put on tefillin? He's like, what do you mean I put it on? I'm like, no, like, what's the order? What's the whole thing? Because I realized, like, I have no idea what they say, what they do. So what happens when you put on tefillin is you put on the shalyad, you make a bracha, and then you wrap up until your hand. Then you put on the head, you make another bracha, and then you wrap around your hand, like the whole complicated thing around the hands. And at that point, they say, Va'arastich li la'olam. They say this pasuk, Va'arastich li b'tzedek u'b'mishpat, Va'arastich li b'chesed. And they say that as they're wrapping it around their hand. Clearly symbolic of the tefillin being this engagement ring between us and Hashem. That it's as they're wrapping around their finger, specifically their ring finger, they remember this pasuk of Va'arastich li la'olam, that Hashem is saying, I will betroth you. So when they're wrapping their tefillin every single day, they remember this pasuk. So it's not even like, oh yeah, sometimes whenever we recall Hosea, we remember this pasuk. But no, every single day, the men say it as they put on their tefillin. To take this one step further, we don't just read, most parts of Nach end up as a Haftorah at some point. This pasuk in Hosea is our Haftorah this upcoming Shabbos, on Shabbos Shuva. Undoubtedly one of the most important Shabboses of the year. So what is so important about this pasuk? Why do we want to remember this, let alone give it such a prime spot? Why do we want to think about this Hosea relationship? And what does it have to do with tefillin? Besides for the clear symbolism of it resembling an engagement scenario, what does this pasuk have to do with tefillin, and what does it have to do with us? Yeah, Shira.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I think I just zoned out for a second.
No problem.
What's the context of this pasuk?
The context of this pasuk is at the end of the Sefer, when Hashem is, after Hashem has let us have it for a number of prakim, I think somewhere around 10 prakim, Hashem then says, I will take you back. Yeah. Yeah, that all of Klal Yisrael, but all of it is kind of given over in this double language of like addressing Hosea individually and all of Am Yisrael. But it is understood that. No, so that's what I'm saying. All of the language kind of feeds off of that relationship, but it's not, it's clear from the psukim that it's not only directly addressed to him, but all of it's kind of written on this double level. Okay. So that's our question. What's so important about this pasuk? What does it have to do with tefillin? And what does it have to do with us? So what I wanted to look into first is what's the basic meaning of this pasuk? The Abar Benel says, Amar varastachi la'olam kumar tiyeh lefanai kina'ara me'urasa le'ish cheshka nafsho ba v'hiyeh zeh le'inyan oto olam hanitzchi. So when Hashem says to us, "Varastichli la'olam, kolomar tiyeh lefanai kinu na'ara me'urasa," Hashem is saying to us, "You will be before me like a na'ara me'urasa, a woman to whom I am engaged." Le'ish chashka nafsho ba, that the man's heart is so connected to her that he so greatly wants her. V'hiyeh zeh le'inyan oto olam hanitzli ha'hechlati v'ka'amram b'mishnah kol Yisrael yish lam chilek olam haba. Hashem is saying through this pasuk, B'nai Yisrael, you will be special to me. You will be important. I will want you so greatly. I will love you, and I will be connected to you, like someone would say when they are getting engaged. That Hashem is saying, how will we be engaged? We will be engaged through the mitzvot. That I will give you all of my mitzvot, I will give you my Torah, and through this we will be so connected. So on a basic level, again, we said this is a beautiful pasuk, but how can we ignore the context? How can we ignore everything that surrounds this? It's great if there's a great one-liner at the end, but this is not some random story. This is Tanakh. Everything in the context needs to be taken into account. So let's delve a little bit into, first, the matter of why tefillin. Why is this connected to tefillin? And I think we can begin to get our answer from there. So in the Aruch HaShulchan it says, V'ner Eli d'lehaniach hi berchad ha-mitzvah, v'al ha-mitzvot hi berchad ha-todah, shezakinu Hashem la'asot o b'ini u'b'ininu. The first thing to note is that with tefillin, we said there are two brachot. There's the bracha when you put on the arm, and there's the bracha when you put on the head. When you put on the arm, you say l'haniach tefillin. But when you put it on the head, you say al mitzvas tefillin. Why both brachot? And the Aruch HaShulchan is saying because it's two levels. The one on the arm is a berachat mitzvah, that every mitzvah before you do it, you say a bracha and then you do it. You do a mitzvah over le'asiyatan, you make the bracha, and then you do the mitzvah. Same with tefillin. You begin to put it on, and before you start wrapping, you say the bracha of al lahaniach tefillin, to put on tefillin. But there's a second level. And that's when we put on the head, we make a berachat hoda'ah. We make a bracha of thanking Hashem, that we say, thank you, Hashem, for giving us this mitzvah of tefillin. And I'm just going to keep saying we, even though clearly I do not put on tefillin. Much easier. So the Aruch HaShulchan says there is something very special about this mitzvah, that not only do we make the bracha on doing the mitzvah, we make the bracha thanking Hashem for giving us this mitzvah. And in our Siddur, everyone knows there are those little, like, hinini muchan umezuman that people say before they do some mitzvot. Very holy people who concentrate a ton on doing their mitzvot. If you don't say it, don't think you're the only one not saying it. But for every mitzvah, there is a hinini muchan umizaman, that there's something that you're supposed to say to focus your thoughts. So if we look at the one for tefillin, hinini mikavim bahanachat tefillin lekayim mitzvah bori. I'm concentrating that I'm about to fulfill this mitzvah of tefillin. Shetzivinu lahaniach tefillin, kakasuv b'torato ukshartim la'ura yadecha. So it says, I am preparing myself to do this mitzvah that is going to serve as a reminder between my eyes and on my arms that I am fulfilling my creator, that all these parshiot teach us that Hashem is one, Hashem is unique, and He is the only Hashem in this world. V'sheneskar nisim v'niflaus, and they remind us of the miracles that Hashem did for us. Sha'asa imanu b'hutziyanu mi'etrayim, v'asher lo ha'koach v'hamem shalah ba'alyonim u'batachtonim, la'sot bahem kirtzono. And it reminds us of the power of Hashem in this world, so that we are reminded to do His will. And then it continues for the second Hinini Mochan, when you're going to do the head. V'tzivinu l'haniach al hayad l'zikaron zrua hanituya. And it puts on your arm, and it reminds us of the Zerua Netuya, that through that, through a strong arm, Hashem took us out of Egypt. V'shehi neged haliv l'sha'abid bazeh. Ta'avat ha'machshavot libenu la'avodato yisbarach. V'al ha'rosh neged ha'malach. She'neshama b'molchi im shar chushi v'kochati kulam yihiyu mishu'abadim. So it says, when I am putting on tefillin, it's all going to be okay. I have this feeling that if we just continue learning Torah, it's going to run away. I don't know that that's true. Everyone's welcome to run. Okay. I feel like it's more interested over there than it is over here. I think they don't like light, but I might be wrong. Well, that on that plan. Yeah, I feel like if we all get up and move, it'll scare them, and then it'll spray us. Okay, it's running away. It's running away. Okay, when we put on tefillin, or when men put on tefillin, they're reminding themselves that our body is dedicated to Hashem, that this is not just a regular mitzvah, that we do something, that we are going through the motions. This is a mitzvah that is supposed to be a sign on our bodies. It is supposed to remind us every day that Hashem is one in this world, that Hashem does miracles for us, that Hashem cares about us, and that we have that relationship with Hashem. We continue with the Rambam and Mishnah Torah. Kedushas tefillin, kedusha tang dolahi. There is a great level of kedusha to the mitzvah of tefillin. Shekol zman shehat tefillin b'rosho shal adam, v'al zar'o, hu anav v'yarei shamayim v'ino, eno nimshoch b'schok u'b'sicha b'tela, v'ino meharher mashavot ra'ot, Ella mipaneli bo bidvare emet vitzadak. The Rambam adds that this is not just some regular mitzvah, that the mitzvah of tefillin is above and beyond. There is a tremendous kedusha to it, that while you are wearing tefillin, it should change your whole being. You don't engage in lightheadedness. You're not laughing and joking. When you put on tefillin, you are now transformed to a yarei shamayim. You are transformed into somebody that is completely focused on Shemayim, that is completely focused on the mitzvot you are doing and the signs that you have just put on yourself. And therefore, the Rambam continues that it is a goal for someone to wear tefillin the entire day. So if many of you know, Rav Nevenzahl wears tefillin a lot of the day. There are definitely people who walk around in the old city who try to put on tefillin the whole day. It's a goal. You'll even sometimes see like little kids, above bar mitzvah boys, but they look really little, walking around in tefillin. It is a goal to wear tefillin the entire day. They say that if you need a tremendous level of kedusha and concentration to wear tefillin, so if you feel like you cannot maintain that the whole day, then it's not a goal. You should only do it if it's proper. But we see through all these sources that tefillin is so much more than just a regular action you do. It's something that changes you. It's something that is completely focusing your body and your entire being on your connection with Hashem. So what I would like to suggest is, as we said, that when you put on the tefillin and you say Va'arasich li la'olam, that's your engagement ring. And now it makes sense if you think about it that way. That we have this beautiful pasuk that Hashem said, I am betrothing you, B'nai Yisrael. You are my loved one. And to wear it like an engagement ring. To remind yourself constantly and say, I'm holy, I am connected to Hashem, and this is my reminder. Just like I said, when I look at my engagement ring, obviously not every single time, most of the time I'm just doing things, but if I were to really concentrate, I would say this is a symbol of a point in my relationship, that I got to a certain point, and this is symbolic of so much more. It was of love, of advancement of the relationship, of moving into a new stage. And so too, we say Va'arasich li la'olam, that Hashem said, I am proposing to you. I would like to be connected to you forever. I would like to be in this relationship with you. And I am going to propose to you, and you are going to remember every day when you do this special mitzvah that transforms you. that puts a sign on your being that you can look at that tefillin and say, that's my engagement ring from Hashem. And at the end of all this, I was like, wow, that's so beautiful. I asked my husband at dinner tonight, I'm like, do you love putting on tefillin? He's like, yeah, I guess so. Like, I guess it's nice. I was like, no, it sounds so beautiful. Like, every single day you get to look at your arm and you get to feel on your head this physical reminder that Hashem wants to be in a relationship with us. But it's still bothering me. Great, beautiful. We can end this year there. We use a beautiful pasuk, apply it to a beautiful mitzvah, all's done. But I'm still bothered by the context. I'm still bothered that it comes out of this story of Hosea. That this is not beautiful. It's not reminding me of something beautiful, no matter how nice the words are. But what I would like to suggest is that this pasuk is not beautiful despite its context. Rather, it's beautiful because of its context. That it's beautiful because it comes at that point. That Hashem is saying to us, I love you, B'nai Israel, not because you serve me, but even when you do not serve me. That I love you when you have gone astray, when you are in the lowest of lows, I love you. And you need to remember that every single day. That if you feel so low, you feel like you're not worthy, remember that Hashem loves you. Dr. Susan Bialy Haas, this is not as famous as Brené Brown from last week, talks about, in a book she wrote, I forgot the name, how one comes to be loved. And she says that in order to be loved, you need to accept yourself. That, interestingly enough, many people believe that to be liked by others, or even more, to be loved by others, they need to become someone else. So they say, I'm going to be cooler, I'm going to speak a certain way, I'm going to dress a certain way, I am going to behave a certain way. And it's not really who they are. But they say, I think that people like that type of person. The boy I want to go out with probably likes someone who's louder. But that's not you. And it's really interesting when that happens. Because when you say, I'm going to put on, I mean, it's weird to say mask, but I'm going to put on this mask of someone who's really loud and outgoing. But people are repelled from people who are not being genuine. No, everybody knows, you can sense when someone's not really being themselves. So when you say, I'm going to be that different person because then that person will like me. I want to be accepted by that group or by that person, or I want him to want to go out with me. And therefore, I'm just going to be someone else. I'm going to change a little bit. That's showing the world that you don't think that you are someone worth loving. That if you're saying, in order to be liked by other people, I need to be louder, that's saying that I don't think myself in the way that I actually am is worth loving, and people sense that. And so Dr. Haas says the way to be loved, and the people who are more loved by others and are capable of feeling that love, are people who have come to accept themselves. Rav Kook applies this idea to tshuva and gives us, I think, our final answer to the original pasuk. Rav Kook says in Orot HaTshuva, "V'atshuva harishit shehi me'irat hamishachim miyad hi sheyashuv ha'adam el atzmo el shorash nishmato u'miyad yashuv ha'al ha'alokim el nishmat kol ha'nishamot ve'elech v'yitz'ad hala ma'ala ma'ala b'ktusha u'b'tara." Rav Kook obviously expands endlessly in his beautiful writing. But Rav Kook says that the core of tshuva is sheyashuv adam el atzmo, that a person should return to himself. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Taretzky in Shalavim, I don't know if any of you have heard him speak, but if not, he's a fantastic speaker. He says he is allergic to this idea that tshuva is going back to the real you. Because he says that the way people often understand this is tshuva is about accepting yourself. So if I'm a lazy bum that sits on my couch and watches Netflix all day, that's me. What can I do about it? You know, I know that you tell me that I'm supposed to get up and go to shul on time, but the real me wants to be sitting on the couch watching Netflix. But that's not the point of what Rav Kook is saying. What Rav Kook is saying is that real tshuva, the point of really returning to Hashem, is delving back to the real you. And what Rav Kook's point is that the real you is a neshama. And your neshama wants to attach to the nishmat kol ha-neshamot, wants to connect to its creator. So the real you is not a lazy bum that wants to sit on the couch watching Netflix. The real you is deeper than that. The real you wants to connect to Hashem. And Rav Kook says that the entire point of tshuva is returning to that core, to that essence of you, which is connected to Hashem. He continues in Orod HaKodesh. He says, Adam's sin was that he was alienated from his selfhood. For he followed the opinion of the serpent and lost himself. And he could not give a clear answer to the question, where are you? That Hashem said to Adam in Gan Eden, Ayeka. And Adam couldn't answer. For he did not know his own soul. He said, what was Adam's sin? Adam's sin was that he lost himself. That the core of being is knowing your true self. So like Dr. Haas said, in order to be loved by others and in order to feel the love that is coming to you from others, you must be confident in yourself. That if you want to be in any real relationship and you want that relationship to progress into a beautiful, deep relationship, you need to be confident in who you are. Because if you do not think you are worthy of being loved, other people will not think you are worthy of being loved. And when you show that you are the amazing person that you are, other people will be attracted to that. So what does this have to do with our first pasuk? When Hashem says to us, "Va'arastich li la'olam," I want to be betrothed to you forever. He's saying, B'nai Yisrael, I see the real you. I know you have gone far. I know you have strayed. But I love you. And I want you to know that I will always love you. You, the real you, B'nai Yisrael. That deep under all that messiness that B'nai Yisrael was in when Hashem was speaking to Hosea was the pure, beautiful neshamot of the Jewish people. And Hashem is saying, remember always that I love you. In these times when you feel so low, when B'nai Yisrael, you may feel like you are not loved by Hashem because you feel like right now you are not worthy of being loved. But when you do tshuva, when you return to yourselves and recognize that your neshama is at the core, I'll be there. I love you and I love you through all of this. And that's why every single day when we put on the tefillin, we remind ourselves, V'arastich li la'olam, that Hashem says, no matter what you feel this day has brought, maybe you feel like you didn't do so great the day before, you don't feel so connected to Hashem, but that's when Hashem is reminding us, I love you. And you can look down at that tefillin and you can look at whatever that reminder is for you, whether it's just waking up in the morning and without the tefillin, just saying to yourself, this pasuk, which I think could be beautiful, reminding yourself that Hashem always loves us. And that's why this is the important message, that this, because of its context, is so important to us. That on Shabbos Shuvah, when we sometimes feel like there's just so much heaviness, that we've spent all of Elul thinking about everything we did wrong, you can feel so badly about yourselves, but that's when on Shabbos Shuvah, Hashem brings us this story of Hosea. And this story that right away repulses us and we say, well, that's terrible. Hashem's saying, that's specifically when I gave you this promise, this engagement. And that's why this engagement story stands out to us. And that's why it's what we want to remember every day. So when we hear the words of Hosea the Shabbos, whether we're in shul, not in shul, you're reading it at home, you only hear it right now and right here. May we be able to internalize this message in our own relationships, because I think it's so important that we are so hard on ourselves and we sometimes don't realize that we are worthy of being loved. But until you recognize your worth, you're not going to feel the love coming to you from other people. And other people will not want to love you if you don't love yourself. So that's the first stage, is love ourselves, and we will be able to develop those relationships with others. And may we be zocha to feel the presence of Hashem and feel how much He loves us, and use that love to fuel ourselves to love ourselves.